Okay, we are in the Gemara Sanhedrin, Yud Beis, Amid Beis, 12b, more than halfway down the page. And we had this discussion of what was the mistake, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what was the mistake of Chizkiyo HaMelech? And we discussed this idea of he wanted to intercalate the year once Nisan began, which was too late. And he made a mistake in the statement of Shmuel, who says you can't intercalate. And then we say what it was. He really wanted to intercalate it on the 30th day of Adar, if you recall. And Shmuel says you cannot intercalate a year on the 30th day of Adar, since it's worthy that it could be Rosh Chodesh Nisan himself. So we don't do this. And we have a brisa that supports that, and that was the mistake he made. So now we're going to go into this statement. Rather, we're going back to the brisa, back to our original brisa, on the page before, of saying what were the problems with Chizkiyo. And there was the brisa, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda specifically gave another reason why Chizkiyo, after he told the Jews whatever about Pesach, either you want to say he intercalated the or whatever, but then he asked for mercy for he made a mistake. Another interpretation of what the mistake was, having nothing to do with the intercalation per se. Reb Shimon Yehuda, Omer Mishum Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon, the son of Yehuda, said in the name of Reb Shimon, what was Yechezkel upset about that he did wrong? Mipnei Shehesi es Yisrael lasos Pesach Sheni, because he improperly advised the Jews to push off bringing the Korban Pesach and to go for Pesach Sheni. It needs explanation. There's nothing to do with intercalating now. He said there was no intercalating issues here. He didn't intercalate. It was a separate issue. It was around Pesach, but it didn't have to do with intercalation. Okay, now what was the issue over here? Well, we're going to see. Remember, most of the Jews were Tamei. Okay, so if most of the Jews are Tamei, what did we say? What's the rule? You can do what you have to do spiritually. We don't push it off. We push off the Tumah, as it were. And that was one direction. But here, he chose another option. Instead of intercalating the year, he said, guys, you don't have to bring your Korban Pesach. You'll bring it on Pesach Sheni. You'll bring it on Pesach Sheni. And that was the mistake he made, as we will see why. Okay, hang on. But that's the issue. He told them, now not everybody was Tamei. Not everybody was Tamei. Most were Tamei. So the ones who weren't Tamei, they just brought the Korban Pesach regular. Most of the Jews were Tamei. He said, guys, you just go and bring Pesach Sheni. That was a mistake. He should have had them bring the Korban Pesach, even in a state of Tumah. He did not do that, and that's what he asked mercy for. But now the Gemara is going to ask, well, how did that come into being? Hey, Chirami, please describe this case. Why did he first advise them to not bring it on the regular Pesach, do a Pesach Sheni? And then he made the mistake. So look at the footnote here. Here's the obvious question. Surely Chizkiyo knew that if a majority of the community is Tameh, they bring the sacrifice on time, for this law is derived from the scripture. Remember we said, if an individual was Tameh and didn't bring it on the regular Pesach, he has Pesach Sheni. And from that we deduced if the majority are Tameh, they bring it on Pesach. So did he not know a clearly implicit understanding of the text? Why did he push them off? So it wasn't so simple. Now, I don't know how they were able to take such a census, as you're going to see in a minute. Maybe there was Ruach HaKodesh. I don't know. I can't answer. I know you're going to ask the question, how did he technically know the data that he had? But this is going to be the answer. Amarav Ashi, Rav Ashi says, this was the story. Kigon Shehoyu Yisrael Mechza Tmeim U'Mechza Tahorim. It was a case where the Jews were approximately, not precisely, approximately half Tameh and half Tar. Now we have to go further. This is like Mamish, just like after the elections when they show you, like, how did they vote? Women voted this way. Men voted that way. Women between this age and this age. Oh, so now we have a little bit of a poll over here in terms of Who exactly was Tameh? Now remember, when we say people are Tameh, that includes men and women. Now, how do you determine what on what basis or gender do we determine the majority?
Men.
And women?
Nope.
They don't count.
That's right.
I'm glad you said that, not me. Okay. Does a woman, let me ask you a question. Is a woman obliged to eat a korban pesach or not?
Well, she's in the group.
Okay, well, let's see. Let's see what's going on. But this was the issue. Now, this is, now we'll get a little more statistical analysis here. All right, next line. What do we mean by about half and half? How was the breakdown? The breakdown was like this. V'noshim mashlimos l'tahorim v'odefes aleihem. The women increased the percentage of Torah individuals to beyond the half. What was like this? If you looked at the men alone, the men, the majority of the men were Tamei, the minority were not. Okay? But when you add the women to the mix, the majority of the women were Tahar, and the minority were not. And when you put them together, the two groups together, and equally, whatever, it came out the majority were Tahar.
Who was supposed to be the sacrifice, men or women?
It's just Korban Pesach for them both.
It, the men or the women?
The Kohen brings it.
Okay, so what's the woman got to do with it?
The Kohen brings it on behalf of the men and the women. And you can't bring it for you who are Tameh. So again, if you just looked at the men, the majority were tummy. And if we only looked at the men, then we'd say, well, the majority of the people are tummy. We're going to bring the Korban Pesach anyway. Because the majority are tummy. We do it anyway. We don't push it off. But then we threw the women into the mix. And there were so many more women who were Tahar. So when you add them together now, there more are Tahar. So what happens if more? Let's say, whatever. Let's say 5 million Jews are Tahar and 4.5 million Jews are Tomei. What would we instruct the Tomei people to do under that circumstance? Again, the majority are
Tahar.
The minority are Tomei. The 4.5 million Jews are celebrating Pesach Sheni. Because it's Pesach Sheni. Not the right one, because there's not enough people Tomei. Now, the 5 million who are Tahar, they bring it on the regular Pesach.
Right, so
but the 4.5 million Tamei bring it later.
Okay.
And this was the situation with Chizkio. In other words, there was a question now. Now, Lamaisa, the majority are Tahar. But that's a majority with women. Without the women, it's the majority are Tamei. Therefore, there was some question as to what constituted a majority of the community. What do I look at? Do I look at only the men, and they're the only ones that the cheshbon is with? Or do I look with the women? This mamish alters a major halacha over here. Okay? Okay. Now, let's look at this point. According to Ravashi, Chizkia knew, he knew the law, that Tumah is disregarded when the majority of the community, those people coming to him and pay sacrifice, is involved, but erred when he calculated the percentage of Tomei people in the community. How did he make the numbers? The correct calculation, what should he have done? And this is what he didn't do. The calculation would include only those individuals obliged to bring a Pesach sacrifice. If a majority of those individuals is Tomei, their Tumah is disregarded. Chizkia erred in that he included exempt individuals in this calculation. Gemara will now elaborate. Now we're going to see what the point is. In other words, he did, this is like mamish, like incorrect polling data. Same thing. You're taking this number into calculation. Can't take this one into calculation. You have to go with a different calculation. That's right. Rigged system. Meikara, so in the beginning, he thought, and this was his mistake, Nashim Barishon Chova. He thought that the women are obliged to bring the Korban Pesach. Therefore, he includes them as a vote, as it were. And they've now shifted the majority to Tahar, which now makes the minority Tameh. And there he pushed the minority to Pesach Sheni. Because what did they do? Dehave miutan tmeim. With the result, now that you added the women to the mix, because he thought they were obliged, now we have more, the majority is tohar, so the minority now has to go to Pesach Sheni. Umiyutan, and the minority, mitchul Pesach Sheni, gets pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Now, here's the point. The Gemara in Pesachim brings a machlokas whether a women are obliged to being a to bring, it should be, are obligated to, should be bring. It's a typo. Yeah, ooh, a typo for art school. Somebody's to bring. It should have been an R instead of an E. Send them a note, somebody. Are obligated to, that's why they give you these to redo the app, because people keep, well, but you can see it. Are they obliged to bring a Pesach or merely permitted to do so? Chiskanesh, you thought that they are obligated to bring it, and therefore counted them along with the men to determine the percentage of Tumah individuals. Since that count showed a majority of the community was Tor, Chisku advised the Tumah individuals to postpone their Pesach until Pesach Sheni. That's what he thought, and that's why he made the ruling. He said, go later. Ulub Sof, but at the end, Sovar Nashim Barishon Rishus. Then they concluded that no, for the first Pesach, it's only discretionary. So if you're not obliged, we don't put you into the calculation of the group. And therefore, what ultimately was, without counting the women, Davlahu Tmeim Ruba, comes out the men were the majority Tamei and Veruba. And when you have a majority there, Tamei, Lo Midchala Pesach Sheni, they don't get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. So that was the mistake. They made a mistake. You mistakenly thought women were obliged. And there he pushed the minority Tomei off when he came out that, well, made a mistake, that they shouldn't be included. We should never have pushed it off. And that was his mistake. So it has nothing to do with the intercalation of the year at all. It had to do with his misjudgment of how we can consider a majority or not. Yeah.
Why did it say, just if you scroll back a little bit, it said the first meeting, women are not obligated
in
the first?
He's just, no, he's just saying the first Pesach versus the second Pesach. He's saying, are we mechayev on Pesach? He's just calling it Pesach Rishon. There's two Pesachs. Pesach Rishon, that's the main Pesach, and Pesach Sheni. Yeah. So the only discussion was, are they obliged in Pesach Rishon? There's nothing to do with Pesach Sheni now. If they're not obliged, they wouldn't have to make it up. He's just calling it Pesach Rishon as opposed to Pesach Sheni. He could have just said, are they chayv bringing the Korban Pesach?
Exactly.
That's what he means. But to delineate that, from to distinguish that from Pesach Sheni, which is on the table, he just calls it Pesach Rishon.
But if a woman's not obligated for
Pesach, so there's no Pesach Sheni for her.
Right.
So that's the Bachlokas. Are they obliged or not?
When they say obliged.
Obliged means they have to. You don't eat kores. That's the point. If you are obliged, if you are chayiv in a Korban Pesach, remember there's only two positive mitzvahs in the Torah that if you don't do them, you get kares. Usually you get kares for negatives. What are those two? Korban Pesach and?
Bris
Mila. So if you're obliged to bring a Korban Pesach, that means if you don't bring it, you're getting kares. And therefore, we give you Pesach Sheni, so you don't get kares. That's why God gives you a second chance. So, and initially he thought women were obliged. And now it's a serious issue. If you're obliged, it means you got to. So now we've got to figure, if most people are Tomei, okay, then we push you off. But if not, not. So it came out, he made that mistake. They really should have what? Pushed it off the Tumah and brought it on Pesach Rishon. So the fact that Pesach Sheni is there, like, don't think Pesach Sheni is like Lichat Chila. You know, Jews should not say, well, I'm not in the mood now, I'll come a month later. No, you know, you go do it, because, you know, who knows what happened a month from now. If you get car racing, let's say you die between Pesach and Shane, you didn't fix it up. So if you say women are obliged or not, makes the difference is that if they don't bring it, they get car race. But the eventual halacha was they're not obliged. Now, if you want to, that's an amazing thing. Go do it. And you'll bring it, and you'll get all the spiritual energy from it, all these things. But we're not going to make you part of the calculation as to whether we push off the group or not, because of Tumah or not, because you're not a main player, as it were. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when they say they don't have to bring it, they don't have a chiyuv to eat it. They don't have to.
But it's the same thing like blowing shofar. Do women have to hear shofar? No. They don't have to hear shofar. If they do, it's an amazing thing. What if they don't hear shofar? It's not the end of the world. They didn't do anything bad, but they lost out on a good thing. So therefore, that was the point, and that was the mistake they made. Okay, two dots, end of the sugya, this little mini sugya. Now we go back to what we just talked about at the end of yesterday, Shmuel's statement of not intercalating a year on the 30th day of Adar. We're going to go back to that. And this issue is going to be a long issue. We're just going to start it today. It's going to go all the way to the next page, all the way to the bottom of the next page. This is going to be a more lengthy sugya. So we go gufa. Gufa always means we're going back to the text we just mentioned. Gufa Amar Shmuel. Let's go back to that statement that Shmuel gave a golden rule. Ein ma'avrim es hashana b'yom shloshim shel Adar. We don't intercalate the year on the 30th day of Adar, making that Adar sheni. Remember, you went through 30 days. You thought it was Adar Rishon. You come along on the 30th day and say, nope, sorry. We're going to now make an Adar sheni. This 30th day, we've decided to make an Adar sheni. And this last month has been Adar Rishon.
We don't intercalate a month, not a year.
Yeah. You know what I mean. So, why? And it gives a reason why. Hoel v'roi l'kov Nisan. Since that day is eligible to be designated as the first of Nisan, so we don't do that. That was a statement he made. The Gemara now asks a question. Now, so they're not supposed to do it. Don't do it. The question is, Ibur Amad. What if a court did intercalate it on the 30th day? Is it valid or not?
No.
Okay. Now remember, this was according to before Rabbi Yehuda, right? This was, or whatever. This was the mistake Chizkio made. That's we saying according to that's a mistake, right? So now we're asked, well, Lamaisa Ibur Amai. If they did intercalate on the 30th day of Adar Rishon, and they's gonna know intercalate, so what's the law? Amar Ula. Ula says like the following: Ein Mekach Nesachodesh. The court should not sanctify the month as Adar Sheni. He's going to say the intercalation is valid, meaning to say there will be an Adar Sheni. The year will be pushed off by a month. That's going to happen. But look what he says. But if you did it, but ein mekachin es achodesh. You don't sanctify. Remember, they had to make an announcement. Don't make the announcement and officially sanctifying Adar Sheni. We'll see. Why? That is, if the court extends the year on the 30th of Adar and then sanctifies the coming month of Adar Sheni, if they would do that, it will have violated Shmuel's principle that intercalation may not take place on a day eligible to have been Nisan. In such a case, then, the court should not sanctify that month as Adar Sheni, but rather wait a month and sanctify the next month as Nisan. In other words, just don't do anything. It'll just be Adar Sheni without you saying anything. I mean, listen, Adar Rishon has to end, right? Adar Rishon can't go on for 60 days, can it? No. So now, normally, we sanctify. Something's got to happen on the 30th day, right? Or 31st, well, 30th day, right? So we're going to, so normally, if you didn't do anything, right, you'd sanctify it as the first day of Nisan, right? But you guys don't want to intercalate. You do want to intercalate, but you've been late. But we're not allowed to intercalate that day that could be Nisan. That day we don't intercalate the month. So he just says, you don't sanctify the month. Just don't sanctify Adar Sheni. And we'll just know it's Adar Sheni. And then we'll wait. The next time you're going to hear from the Bezdin that a month has been sanctified, it'll be Nisan 30 days hence.
So for 30 days, they'll be davening in an unsanctified month.
Right. They don't sanctify because we already said, Shmuel says you can't sanctify that, you can't intercalate the year on a day that could have been the beginning of the new year. So you better do nothing. Now, let's take a look at the commentaries here. Well, that's a whole other issue. Yeah, what happened with the first Purim?
That's right.
That's a whole other issue. We're not going to go there now.
And how does everybody know it's not Pesach in 2 weeks?
Okay, Gemara's.
People are going to.
Okay, good. Gemara's going to discuss all these issues. They're all going to come up here. Good. Now, Yad Ramo objects that this idea of doing nothing accomplishes nothing. Why? He said like this. If the court does not sanctify the 30th as Adar Sheni, right? What they want, what they're really doing are saying, today, the 30th day is now the first day of Adar Sheni. That's what they're effectively doing, right? We're just saying, don't sanctify it. Keep your mouth closed, right? So that day, if the court does not sanctify the 30th as Adar Sheni, that day is surely eligible to have been Nisan. The intercalation performed that day will thus violate Shmuel's principle. I mean, you still have made another month. If you sanctified it or not, you still intercalated. Yad Ramo therefore suggests the following explanation. Without sanctification, if they don't say anything, the 31st day automatically becomes Rosh Chodesh. Remember we said, the whole machlokas of all these opinions, when you have to sanctify? According to Rabbi Elazar, son of Tzarek, with whom the halacha accords. Remember, if a Bezin doesn't say anything, then automatically day 31 is sanctified by itself. Right? And the 30th becomes part of the previous month. That's Adarishan. Thus, as long as God does not open their mouths and does not sanctify the 30th to become Rosh Chodesh, it emerges that the day on which the court proclaimed the leap year was still part of the first Ador. Thus, although the 30th could have been part of Nisan, still the court's intercalation did not violate Shmuel's principle because the day was not, in fact, Rosh Chodesh. That's what he's saying. A day that, if, in other words, you can't make the 30th day Rosh Chodesh Ador Rishon. You can't make it. The court can't make it because you can't make the intercalation that way when it could have been the beginning of the new year. But if you do nothing, and then what happened? By doing nothing, it's not going to be Rosh Chodesh, even if the calendar would be that way. It's not. So now how does... So the 30th passes without anything happening. And then what happens? Automatically, the 31st day becomes the beginning of Adar, is the Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni, but you didn't proclaim anything, so you didn't violate anything. So it really only works out. In other words, what they could not do is on the 30th day say we're sanctifying this as the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni.
But they still have to tell the people it's not.
Yeah, that's, but that's not kichu. That's not sanctifying. There's a thing of going in the court and saying we're sanctifying it.
Well, they don't say anything.
Okay, so Shelley already asked the question, so the Gemara is going to talk about it. Okay, so you're not supposed to do that, all right? So really what you really should, again, what did we say? You really shouldn't intercalate on the 30th. You shouldn't. If you hit the 30th of Adar, let it go, and it shouldn't be a leap year. That was the basic law. Okay, and what if they did? Right, what if they were going to make it a leap year? So he said, okay, if you're going to make it a leap year, still ein mekachin es hachodesh. Still, don't sanctify it. If you want to be on leap year, but don't sanctify it. Okay, next. What if they kitshuman? What if the court did sanctify the coming month as Adar Sheni? Then what? Will that nullify the intercalation or not? Because then now they've sanctified it. What happens then? Look at this. Omer Rava, Rava says, batol ha'ibor. The intercalation is nullified. If you sanctify the 30th as Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni, and you've added a month of the year, you've violated Shmuel's principle. You can't violate it. Boom, it's ineffective. The intercalation doesn't work. This is not Adar Sheni. It's Nisan. You can't do that. That is Rava. On the other hand, Rav Nachman Amar disagrees. Ma'uber umakudish. The year is extended, and the month is sanctified as Adar Sheni. We're in the Bidyeved sections now. You're not supposed to have done this. What if the court just went and said, today's the 30th day, we're making this Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni, and we're having a leap year. Is it valid or not? Rava says, no, everything's out. And Rav Nachman says, everything's in. Okay? Now we're going to see, Rav is going to ask a question on Rav Nachman. And it's a long question. I don't know if we're going to be able to finish even the question. It's a long wait till he gets to the question. Amalei Rav or Rav Nachman. Rav says to Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman says it is Mubar Emakudish. He challenges him there. He says, it's Michni. Okay, let's look at the technicals here. Now, as you guys have been bringing all these questions, it comes up now. Okay, now let's see. Mipuria Lepischa, from Purim until Pesach, we always know, till Sinyom, it's 30 days from Purim to Pesach. And what do we know because of that? Umipuria, and from Purim we begin Darshin, and we lecture, we learn Behilchos Pesach. We start learning Behilchos Pesach on Purim, that we should do at your Purim Suda on Purim sometime in all the partying that's going on. You at least for 5 minutes learn the laws of Pesach. Start learning the laws of Pesach. Okay. How do we know this? How do we know all this? The Tanya, there's a Braisa that tells us this. Shoylen Behilchos Pesach, Kodim LePesach, Shloshim Yom. The Braisa says we start inquiring about the laws of Pesach 30 days before Pesach, which means Purim. That's opinion number one in the Braisa, but there's an opinion two in the Braisa. Shimagam Lil Omer, Shnei Shabbosos. 2 weeks is enough. Okay, so it comes out as a Braisa with a Machlokes. When do we start learning the laws of Pesach? Tanakama says from Purim, and Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, two weeks before. Now, what is 2 weeks before? Purim.
Rosh Chodesh.
Right? Right? 2 weeks before Pesach. Yeah. 2 weeks before Pesach is Rosh Chodesh. Right? So according to Tanakama, if you start learning the laws on Purim, right? But what's the main point that people know, oh, Pesach's coming. Right? That's part of that is, you know, sometimes people, you lose track of time, right? And all of a sudden, you go to your Milcha Marv class, and Rav says, well, we got so long, why are we learning the laws of Pesach? Don't you know? It's in 30 days, or 2 weeks. So that's the tip-off, as it were. Now, and therefore, so one says this, one says 2 weeks, V'chimata. Now, Moore says, now it's analyzing the Braisa. V'chimata Rosh Chodesh. Now, when Rosh Chodesh following Purim arrives, all right? So what happens? Marachikim leh. We can still postpone Nisan for a month, according to Rav Nachman, right? According to Rav Nachman, it works, right? We can postpone Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So what's going to happen if you're going to do that? Asi lezalzalei b'chametz. People might come to disregard the prohibition of eating chametz on the true Pesach, because they're going to assume that Pesach already fell in the month that was declared Adar Sheni, which is a little bit late on letting people know what's going on if you're going to intercalate it. Because they're already learning Hilchos Pesach, aren't they? Yeah. Look, having heard a Pesach lecture on Purim, people will assume that Pesach is to begin in 30 days. Thus, if the court were to proclaim a leap year, postponing things for a month, and send messengers to publicize this, people would not believe the messengers. Said, what do you mean? My rabbi was teaching me Hilchos Pesach. What do you tell me? Pesach now. They would still observe Pesach 30 days after Purim. When they're not something out. What happens if you keep Pesach when it's not Pesach? Well, you're not really doing anything wrong. You want to eat matzah a whole week? Fine. You want to eat bread? Imagine you cleaned your whole house, you did everything, and then you found it wasn't. So what did you do? What a very, you didn't really end in a vera. Maybe okay, you shouldn't have said al achilas matzah chavez. I don't know. But the problem is next month. The problem is next month, because next month you're now eating chametz, right? Apparently, Gemara could have asked an even more basic question than the one directed Rav Nachman. If people assume that Pesach will fall at its normal time once they hear a Pesach lecture on Purim, why may the court extend the year any time after Purim? Why isn't the Gemara asking that question? You should never forget about Rosh Chodesh. Forget about the 30th day. Our whole issue is to be the 30th day. Why do we make a rule? You can't intercalate a month after the 14th.
That's right.
Intercalation during any part of these 2 weeks might cause people to observe Pesach. See Tosos or Chaner discuss the problem. All right, but that's just an interesting question. Anyway, so he's saying if you guys are going, so you're saying, so who is asking to who again? We said that Rava asked to Rav Nachman, right? Rav Nachman says it works. It works. You can be Ma'abra the Chodesh. He's saying, if you're going to say that we've done the day, look what's going to happen. They're going to mess it all up. So what is the answer? Amar Lei. So the Gemara knocks it off. Rav Nachman can answer like this. No. Meida Yadia Deshata Mabarta. People understand that proclaiming a year, a leap year, Bechushbana Talya Milsa, is a matter that depends upon calculation. In other words, everybody knows, it's not like, oh, we just arbitrarily said we have another month. They know there's a lot of cheshbonos involved, and they're aware of the cheshbonos. The need for intercalation arises because seasons are reckoned according to the solar years. whereas months and festivals are regular lunar year. Now, lunar year, okay, it goes the whole day. Lunar year is 11 days short of the solar year. Without any correlation, the Pesach would come 11 years earlier, blah, 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 blah. Since the regulars of Pesach fall in the spring, the court must calculate whether the coming Pesach would do so without adjusting the calendar. If not, they pray and leave it. People know why you have leap years. That's what he's basically saying. So therefore, Amri, so therefore, if after Purim people hear there's a leap year, they will believe it. In other words, what are you telling me? You're saying, you know, once you're going to learn the halachas of Pesach, you're messing them up. He's saying, people aren't that stupid. In other words, if they hear the rabbi is teaching the laws of Pesach, and then a week later, or 2 weeks later, or 3 weeks later, or, well, no, it can't be 3 weeks later. 2 weeks later. It can't be more than 2 weeks. 2 weeks later, he hears, oh, guess what? We're talking here. He's not going to say, oh, get out of here, idiot. You know what I'm talking about. Wait a minute. They know that Pesach has to do with the season. And if they hear there's an intercalation, they're going to know, they're going to be, you know, clearly what's going on. So Amri, they're going to say, Chushbanahu delo salkel urbanan hashta. The rabbis did not complete their calculations until now. So they certainly will believe it. So therefore, there's no problem leaving it later. Rava was saying to Rav Nachman, how could you let this intercalation happen? People are going to not believe the story because they've been hearing you learning Hilchos Pesach. The answer is, so if it was stam, like a goyish idea that you're making a holiday arbitrarily, like Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving is this day. And say, no, we're pushing it off a month. What are you talking about? It is. But if they know that Pesach hinges on the calendar, every Jew knows it's the calendar. So therefore, if they say that, it's not going to be a problem. We're going to stop at that point. Good place to stop, right at the bottom of the page.